Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome again. This is Bishop Randy Dean, pleased and proud to bring to you another episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love devolve into BS. They are no stronger than just trying to bait and switch people, control people, manipulate people into what we think. Love alone is credible, Hans Urs von Balthasar once said, and it is of that quote that I live and breathe and believe that my relationships, my connections, my agreements, my stories, my life with people, my relationship with anybody, anywhere, at any time, I'm invited to live in a credibility with that person based on love. Not the incredible of BS, not the incredible of manipulation, not the incredible of trying to argue people into something that they can't be argued into anyway. It's been said once that the person with an opinion is at the mercy of someone with an experience. I turn that to say when we have the experience of love, all opinions to the contrary are not going to swerve us or hurt us because love alone is credible. So thanks for being here today. I just gave you a quick short commercial for what we're going to do for this next half hour. And this is what we've done for these many weeks, months, and now 4 years in the No BS Bishop. Thanks for being here. If you've never been here before, we're going to start in a moment with Love's Creed, a creed that I wrote that calls us to love alone. And we will conclude in a short while here with a couple other little holy habits that I like to share with you. But let's start with Love's Creed. I wrote this, as I said, a few years ago, and I believe it with all my heart. I would invite you to just listen carefully to it, and then I'll read it in total, and then we'll come back, and I'll share it as I would with couples at a wedding altar, and ask you to repeat after me, all right? So here it is in total, Love's Creed. I am alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less. There it is in total. I'd be happy to send this to you so you can put it on a 3x5 card, and you could put it on the mirror of your bathroom when you're shaving or putting on your makeup, or when you can put it on your sun visor of your car and repeat it out loud for yourself. See, I'm convinced that when we hear ourselves say something, even if we're alone, It goes into a biological file on the inside of us that becomes more a part of us than if we never say it out loud. So here it is in short bursts. I'll ask you to repeat after me. Ready? I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs, locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. I shared just before we repeated it together that you could email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. I'd be happy to send this to you in an email. And I promise you, this is not some kind of bait and switch BS means of me trying to gain an email list. If you write me, it's not going to go into a fundraising file in my computer. It's going to go simply to sending you a copy of this so you have it for your own use on your own terms, all right? So today, for this next half hour of your life and my time, I'm so honored and I treasure the fact that people would tune in. I want to talk to you about seeing, looking, and envisioning love. Seeing, looking, and envisioning love. I think we all see, I think we all look, but I'm not sure we all envision. So I want to talk to you about those three layers of how we can work with this most important of all human topics, and that is love. William Penn once said that love is the one command that Christ has given us, and he said, I believe it is the of most care. We should pursue that one command at the expense of all others. Before we go on to other commands, may we learn love above all things. And I so agree with that. This is the one foundation of real faith. This is the one thing that we who call ourselves people of faith are insistent that we love. We find love in all the subjects and the topics of our world and whatever political sway they take us. Love must be our standing so that we can understand what's really happening. To see, to look, and to envision. You see, I'm convinced love's enough, that it encompasses a genius strategy for life and living with people. To love the unlovable, for instance, that's to live in the majesty of God, because that's where God lives. Being rejected or cursed all the while you love it, that's a furious divine beauty. You see, because God sees through love. God sees love as the purpose of his of all creation. The seeing of God is the also an invitation for us to see. Come see. Come see what love looks like. To see love as the genius strategy. To see love as the one understanding that is credible of all other understandings. See it. It's one thing to see things, right? And it's another thing to look for things. And I think you could turn that around too and say, well, it's one thing to look, it's another thing to see. I mean, you might drop a dollar bill somewhere and go looking, but you may not see it. But to see is to is for me in the purposes of my own presentation here today. To see is the beginning of looking. To somehow see that this is the authentic treasure of God. This God is love. Love is God. How many times have I said that here, week in and week out? Love is God. God is love. Whoever dwells in love is dwelling in God, and whoever dwells in God, you're dwelling in love. So when people love, I recognize God's in there somewhere, and I don't need to know where they go to church or synagogue or whatever their faith may be or may not be. If they are loving, God's in there somewhere, and that's how I see the world around me. When there are loving relationships, when there are loving projects, when there are people groups and just single groups of people, and they are simply loving, I'm just convinced there's God in the middle of that. So to see love is to see God. You catch that? To see love is to see God. And I cannot emphasize that enough. So to see that love is this amazing plan, dream, and design, to see that we're not on this earth for hate, but we're alive for love, to see that, now that sets us to the next stage of this, and that is to look for love. You all heard the the terrible song, the lyrics of a terrible song, looking for love in all the wrong places. And I understand that, but I don't see that as looking for love. I see that as looking for relationship at whatever expense to myself that I can afford or not afford to give. So I see, if I'm looking for love, I believe love is going to find me. So that cheesy song lyric doesn't mean much to me, other than maybe it's a catchy lyric for somebody. It isn't catchy to me because I don't like the words. That's just how I live and breathe. But for me, looking for love, if I'm looking for capital L, real, authentic, genuine love, if I'm looking, I'm going to find it. Because if I see that love alone is credible, if I see that I'm not on this earth for hate, but I'm alive to love, if I can see that, then I'm set on a quest to look. And as I look, I've got to understand, and I encourage you to grasp this with me. If I'm looking for love, it may take my whole life, but it's worth, it is absolutely worth the journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's an eternal pilgrimage. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. We are climbing a mountain. We're not just hiking up a small rise in the park. And there may be moments of rest. Of course there are. But love is not something to be taken as a easy peasy, cheesy, cotton candy-ish pursuit. Love is the heavy lifter of life. So when I go looking for love, I know I'm going to find it. And it may be in short bursts here and there. It might be in moments of time with somebody that I discover is loving, and in they're loving back as I am loving them. There's nothing more rewarding than that. There's nothing more to be treasured in friendships and in spousal relationships than that. But to love and to be loved, oh, it's gorgeous, it's beautiful, it's significant. So to that end, may we each go out seeing that we're alive to love and then looking for how to plan and dream. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that is love. Perhaps it's important on this topic of looking for love, we should write a journal of our life of love, to journal how we are looking, to journal how we are seeing, to journal who it is we found love with and what that love looks like. Because I write a lot in my computer and by hand, because I'm convinced that writing makes me more precise. It makes me more accurate in how I view the world around me. It focuses my brain synapses and the function of my mind into grammar, into sentences and paragraphs, into meaningful statements of purpose, to see and then to look. I think that's a project worthy of writing. I'm quite frankly, I'm writing a book as we speak. I mean, I'm looking at it on my computer screen for some ideas to keep inspiring me here as I share with you. One of the things I see here on my screen says the future belongs to people of love. Vision, to see, to look. Vision born of anything less than love just keeps us busy. So they say if you work at what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. And I believe that to be true. If you love what you're doing, your work, yeah, sure, you'll get tired. You'll need to rest. But I'm not breathing, eating, sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. But here's what I'm saying in this paragraph of my book. The future belongs to people of love. Future does not belong to people of strong political opinion who are going to set out to conquer somebody else. The future doesn't belong there. Future doesn't belong to people who have strong opinions that they need to convince the world that their opinion is mightier and more powerful than all others. The future belongs to people of love. People of love who can look at the world and say we differ. We have a widespread purpose of life and vision and understanding. But to that end, love does the heavy lifting in saying to somebody with whom I have differences, it says, I'm not walking away. In fact, I may learn to love you enough that I learn something about life that I didn't know from you, and vice versa. So that if I can walk and see you through the lens of love, if I'm seeing and looking, then vision born of anything less, just look at that and say, well, that's just trying to keep me busy. When vision flowers out of love, when looking is flowering out of love, we're not going to feel obligated to just put up with people or to work at some task, but we'll feel free to serve. So that's right out of a page in my book that I'm writing, and it's going to be titled Alive to Love, All Lesser Values Are Potential BS. So to see, you know, if I driving along and I see a flock of birds, my wife and I like to eagle watch, you know, when we're driving along, to see an eagle, to see a flock of birds, to see a herd of deer, that's fortuitous. But to look, Now, that's more than fortuitous. When I'm looking, it means I've set out with the sunroof of my car open so that I can really look for birds or eagles. When I'm out to beyond seeing, just happenstance seeing, and I'm out to look, well, now there's strategy there, right? Now there's I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked in anything and everything that's love. I'm looking for love, and I'm not just looking in all the wrong places. I'm looking in the wide world in which I am living. And that leads me to this next part. To see is, you know, I think that's serendipity. To look, that's strategic. But the next part is to envision. To see, to look, to envision love. Now we're alive with real dreams and designs locked into anything and everything that's love. To envision love. St. Francis of Assisi said so many magnificent things, but I think one of the most beautiful sayings of St. Francis is this, that he goes out to love every morsel of dirt, every branch of every tree, to love every tree and the bark on that tree, to love every insect climbing on that tree, to love every leaf, every stem, to look into the sky and to love every molecule of oxygen, to love every bird, to love every feather that might fall from a bird's tail, to love every squirrel. Hello, Mr. Squirrel. Hello, Mrs. Fox. Hello, Mrs. Bird. Who are you today? To love, and St. Francis talked about loving every centimeter of the created order around him. To love it all in such a way as to envision it all as an act of love that's been proffered to me. First John does say that we love because God first loved us. So the fountainhead of love comes from the Creator, comes from God. God is filling the wide world and the universe around us with love. To that end, love is it's the ignition. It's the preponderance of the power that keeps the sun rising. So when I with St. Francis, I might see the sunrise and see and then look for and then envision my day is a day of love, to see it, then to look for it, and then to envision that everything around me is about love. Everyone about me is about love. Every happening that comes my way, whether it be by accident, quote unquote, or by plan, everything is about it. And in seeing it through the envisioning of love, to envision the preponderance of how love is the energy in our world, to see that love and to envision that love creates and love understands that which is beyond understanding, carries me beyond just intellectual inquiry, and it takes me into a societal a societal embrace to hold everything around me, to hold the wide world around me. You know, Jesus actually said, to proclaim good news to all creation. That's interesting, isn't it? To speak to the air that we breathe, to speak to the mountains that we would see or look for, to speak to the chaos perhaps of our world and its nations and its political posturing, to love enough to declare good news to all creation. That the created order is an order of love, and to envision it as such is to know and to embrace and to sustain how love enters me from my eye gate. We all have, you know, the feeling gate, we have the touch gate, but the eye gate maybe is the most profound of all things. And even if you're blind, physically blind with no optic nerve to see, you learn to see in a whole different way. Ginger and I have a dear, dear friend in Texas who was born blind. And this dear friend has taught us and told us so many things about his life that are beautifully instructive, that he sees. He has an internal world that he sees through. So even without an optic nerve, he is able to envision love. He's been able to envision our friendship as a loving friendship over the years. It's just such a rewarding relationship. So to see is so much more than using your eye gate. It's to use your envisioning imagination, to move beyond the stagnant and the ordinary to the extraordinary, to that which is far and away above and beyond your own, just your own little world of pain or sorrow or misery, and even to take pain, sorrow, or misery, and to envision it through some lens of love, to know that love is the ultimate credible reality, and that it is an invincible good, that love is that invincible thing, that will not be conquered by anything. 1 Corinthians 13 says that love never fails. So if I want to be fail-proof, well, then I better learn how to see. I better learn how to look. And I better learn how to envision love. If I want to make my life foolproof and fail-proof, I got to see it, I got to look for it, and I got to envision this glorious, magnificent, created thing called love. Love alone is credible. Well, I'm going to bring this episode of the No BS Bishop in for a landing. As I said earlier, we do two or three things here every time we gather. We do it with purpose. We do it with intentionality to kind of anchor down this whole notion and subject of love. It's inexhaustible, really, the subject of love. But there's got to be some anchors that hold us, right? So that's why I gave you Love's Creed earlier. And now I want to invite you to learn how to love yourself by breathing well, to take a good, solid, deep breath, and to know that when we breathe, and when we breathe deeply, we're oxygenating our body so that we can see better, look better, and envision better for love. To breathe deeply is to lower your blood pressure. It's to calm your heart. It's to calm your mind. It's to still your body. You know, our culture, our society here in America is so rapid fire. We're all in this blasted hurry to go somewhere, do something. Even fun things, we're in a hurry. Go, run, fast. And I believe with all of my heart, we need some better margins for living, to just stop and breathe well. So in a few minutes, I'll count to three, and I'm going to ask you to put your feet flat on the floor. Set up as straight as you possibly can physically. Remove distractions. You know, if the TV's on, turn it off, or radio's on, don't turn it off, because then you won't listen to me. But all kidding aside, I want you to be as still and focused as you can. I want you to take the deepest breath you can physically and hold it down in the foundation of your lung. Let your lungs push against your diaphragm, because your diaphragm's going to push back in a moment so that you can exhale. All right? So on the count of three, take the deepest breath you can. One, two, three. Inhale. And hold it there. And exhale. You know, when I just did that, for me, I could feel my heart beating just a little more steady. I could feel my head light up a little better, you know. I'm not lightheaded, but I'm just saying, just a little more oxygen up there in the attic. And so for me, it just reminds me how important this is for myself and for you listening. Second exercise that we do here is, and yep, I am infamous for this. People know Randy for challenging folks to do this. I've even had people in some meetings know that it's coming and find a reason to suddenly have to go to the bathroom. I don't blame them. I get it. You know, it isn't the easiest thing in the wide world to do for everybody, but I believe it's a great challenge to learn something about yourself and others by saying the three most holy, magical, charmed words in the human language, and those three words are, I love you. I haven't said this in a while, but I challenge you, don't rapid fire those three words. Don't make them so cotton candy-ish that you just, I love ya, and then run away almost as if we're afraid of a response or afraid of gratitude. May we shun all that fear. You know, the Bible does say perfect love casts out fear. and look for perfect love, even if it is in the simplicity of saying to somebody with full eye contact and slow intentionality to say, I love you. In my own life story, when I was 18 and I heard those three words from my father, it was so shocking and stunning because I hadn't heard him say that to me in 18 prior years. It changed my life in many ways, and it brings me to this point in this broadcast to say to you, come on, join me in this revolution of love, to see it, to look for it, to envision it. Say to somebody with eye contact, I love you. It's beautifully shattering, and it's an invitation for something of God in the middle of all the rush. Well, thank you for being here today. It is an honor. I'm not kidding you, and I'm just saying that because I have to. I'm saying it because I love to, and I love doing this. I am so appreciative of your joining us here today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. So thank you. Spread the word. Be my best advertisement. Tell your friends about this broadcast. You can find it on WPCA Radio's website. We archive all the broadcasts, so you can go back and listen to 4 years of this if you are so inclined. And now just know that I love you. I love you. I love you. And I know that you can't see my eyes, but if you could, you'd see me look you right in the eye and say, I love you. Now go out and do something beautiful in this rough and tumble world, and let the light of love shine, because something's afoot in our world. That ugly, dark stuff, it's all afoot out there, but there's something bigger and better afoot as well, and that is the power of love. Thank you for being here today. Now go out and do something beautiful. Happy trails.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.